Nets fans.
What a fake! An explosion by Deron Williams. Johnson the step back. That was real, and that was spectacular. Lopez, the catch and jam.
Brooklyn's finest. The podcast.
All right, so welcome. Another episode, Brooklyn's Finest Podcast. I'm Chris Hooker. Today we're joined by Scott Solomon from Hot Hot Hoops, SB Nation, and Jeremy Gordon from Brooklyn's Finest. Guys, we got a big matchup tomorrow. What's happening?
Well, I think that it's going to be a good opportunity for the Dolphins to see I'm still thinking NFL football here. It's a good opportunity for us to see Brooklyn with their revamped lineup. I'm anxious to see what happens.
Scott, I got a question. This sounds kind of strange, but obviously we all know what the Heat have done. You know, two NBA Finals. You know, LeBron going for his fifth MVP. I just feel like the Heat, people are kind of sleeping on a little bit. Do you get that sense? I don't know if it's just not cool to pick the Heat to win the title anymore, or if the Nets and the Bulls have really gotten to the point where they're legitimately chasing them. But I just feel like it's not like the unanimous pick anymore. What's the feeling out of Miami with that sense, or if that sense even exists?
Well, it's funny because the talk radio today was saturated with calls about whether or not the Heat are actually that good coming off of a one-game losing streak to Philadelphia. The Heat are going to be there. The national media has been picking against us. They think that the Heat have had their run and that they're getting ready to lose all of their big players at the end of the season and that it's not going to be a championship-type run. But you have to pick the Heat. How do you pick against them?
I don't know. I mean, they do have the best player in the world. They have, I guess there's not much to not like about them other than the fact that maybe you don't know what you're going to weigh to, you know, this year with how his body's going, or you don't know what kind of boss you're going to get, but you still have the best player in the world. I don't know. I feel like They're a no-brainer pick, but they're also there's more question marks in there than they've been. I know as a Nets homer, I think we have an excellent shot of winning the title, but I know that you have to go through Miami in order to get there. Jeremy, what do you think? Do you think people are sleeping on Miami this year, or do you think they're just as good as they have been in years past?
So, I don't know if I get the idea that people are sleeping on them so much, but yeah, it seems obvious that they're too as good as they've ever been and should be respected as much. I mean, they're just kind of have what they're doing down to its unholy perfection in terms of, just being in such good rhythm together. So yeah, what's not to pick?
And let's look at what you really have. You've got the same team that they've had the last 2 years. But you've got Chris Bosh coming in the most incredible shape of his career. You've got the greatest player in the world. You've got Dwayne Wade coming in with his rested knees. I think anybody that picks against the Heat, especially this early in the season, I think they just don't know NBA basketball.
if Wade's knees are so good, why was he being rested against the Sixers last night?
Because it's a long season. Let's face it. It's 82 games.
Yeah,
you're not gonna get the same Dwayne Wade that you got years ago, okay? But he did rest up this offseason, and I think you're gonna see him take nights off. I don't think you're gonna see him play the same amount of games that he's played in years past. I think that you're gonna see him take games off. I think you're gonna see James take games off. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a long season, and let's face it, this whole season is a preseason getting ready for the playoffs. You know, they're going to come in as the number one seed. They're going to win 60 to 65 games this year, whether they have Wade, James, and Bosh play together every game or not. I think that they're going to do it as economical as possible. I think they realize that they're playing for the end of the year. what happens in November and December really doesn't matter. They proved that last year. They proved that the year before. You know, they've had losing streaks in the middle of the regular season. Mm-hmm. It just really doesn't matter. I mean, you know, they're going to come in as the number one seed at worst, or number two seed, and they're going to have their stretch in the playoffs. That's what this team is built for. This team is built for longevity. This team is built for stamina. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
So the rationale is, against the Sixers, a team that's not really in the Heat's class, you know, just rest him, and why put more miles on his body at this point in the season, you know, when you have a long road ahead of you.
Exactly. There's no reason to put a lot of wear and tear on these bodies when you have 82 games in a regular season. You've got a mini season in the playoffs. They're going to be banging at the end, and they've got to use their minutes judiciously. You know, why burn everybody out now?
Yeah.
I mean, the concern for Wade is that, you know, it's not like he's 38. It's not like he's Garnett or Pierce. He's ostensibly still young. This is only the second game to miss time. I guess we'll see. It's one of those, just have to wait and see whether or not it's a real problem or if it's just, you know, why not?
Right.
I'll be honest. I was a little upset that he took last night off, but I wanted to see this team win 20-30 games in a row before they lost one. Being the official Heat homer, I wanted to see them destroy teams. You know, I was upset that they only beat the Bulls the other night by as many as they did. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see them go through teams. I wanted to see them make a statement. I want to see them have statement games. I think that for them to play smart isn't necessarily what the fans want to see happen. You know, they want to see the 30-point wins. They want to see LeBron take the fourth quarter off, but play a complete game up until then. I just think that it's something that they're going to have to be patient with this year, and they're going to play different than they did in years past because they don't want to go seven games in the postseason.
What happened last night then? I mean, that allowed, I guess, the Sixers to start off with that hot start and, I guess, just take that game. I mean, it was one of those things I wasn't watching. I was watching the Red Sox. But it was like all over Twitter that the Heat were down. I don't know. I didn't see any of the game. So what exactly happened to that?
They just couldn't hit the side of a barn, and Spoelstra said that they just did not come out of the tunnel well. And after the ring ceremony in Chicago, they started taking things for granted, and they just weren't playing Heat basketball. And you know, you're going to have nights like that. You're not going to come out shooting lights out, and especially with Dwayne Wade not playing, it's going to happen. You know, you're not going to win 73 or 74 games like the Bulls did in their banner year. I think that fans are going to expect to see at least 60 wins, but they're going to get those 60 wins judiciously, and it's going to happen over a long stretch of the season, and they're going to be built for April, May, and June, as opposed to being built for November, December, and January.
Jeremy, what happened to the Nets last night? Because again, my attention was on the Game 6 World Series. Just for those of us that were watching baseball, what happened with Brooklyn in their debut last night?
They were just kind of sloppy. I mean, they started out really strong and got up to a big lead, but it's like Deron Williams eventually missed some time, and he had to, Andre Kirilenko was injured, and then they just stopped making shots, and Cleveland's not terrible, so they just kind of filled in the, you know, Kyrie Irving got out, and then all of a sudden the Nets just couldn't defend up until the final seconds of a possession, and they just gave up a lot of easy stuff. In the end, it's too much.
I mean, would you say that, I mean, obviously, it's game one. In the long run of the season, means that's virtually nothing. Would you say just a disturbing debut? Is this, are we in for a longer road, or is it just a sense of just chemistry not not forming yet and just needed to, just get going.
It's the first game of a long series. It's like, it's a new team. A lot of the players in it are old or didn't get to play together during the preseason because Darren was out for all of it. And, it's a long, Jason Cade wasn't there because he was suspended, and they showed promise, and I think Cleveland is maybe a little better than we've gotten credit for in recent years. And the promising glimpses were enough to, just be patient that it's a work in progress.
Do we think that, I know that I think that this game tonight is going to be a preview of what the conference finals will be. I mean, but I'm a homer. Is that something that the two of you guys think? If it's not Nets Heat, who is it going to be?
I really don't think the Nets are going to be there at the end. I think they're going to have a tough time going through Indiana. I think that you're looking at the Nets as being a 4 seed, 5 seed at best. I just think that it's going to be real tough for them to get through Indiana.
It's not fair to say because we don't know how good they can be. I mean, last night, they certainly can't play like they did last night and get anywhere, but if they get it together, then, I can't see anyone getting past. I think it'd be unfair to give anyone other than Miami the benefit of the doubt when it comes to getting that far, considering everyone else is sort of getting used to their own issues. So I guess for now, I wouldn't say they're going to get there or they're going to win.
What do, Jeremy, what do the Nets have to do tomorrow night to beat the Heat?
God, just stay with them. I mean, you've watched the Heat. They're terrifying. They can just turn on at a moment's notice. And their only problem is when, Dwayne Wade sort of, goes commando and starts taking long shots of time on the clock and driving and getting blocked and all that. But when he's on, they're just unstoppable. But they just have to, the Nets have to run with him because they've got all those slow guys and they can't be sloppy with their passes. They're sloppy a lot of the time. And it was a problem last year, it was a problem last night. So, hopefully they can do that.
It feels like, I guess going back to last season, I mean, I know that this team is definitely different than their roster was last year, but the Nets and the Heat weren't even in the same class last year. I mean, every game, even the ones that were closer, still fell out of reach. I mean, the Nets haven't beat the Heat since LeBron was. I mean, I don't know if the Heat Nets have ever beat LeBron. Is that this? Because I know I read a stat about that somewhere. Is that since he joined Miami, or is it ever?
I think that the Nets are going to have a very difficult time with LeBron, regardless of who they put on the floor tomorrow night. I think that the Nets are going to play substantially better this year than they have in years past. But, let's face it, they're not in the Heat's class. The Heat are in a class, in a stratosphere in and of themselves. They've won back-to-back world championships. It should have been 3 in a row. They didn't play well against Dallas 3 years ago, or it would have been 3 in a row. This is the Miami Heat we're talking about. This is a class of one. San Antonio played very well to be in their class last year, but I think that if it wasn't for the three ball from Neal, I don't think they would have been in it. I just don't want to give anybody any false hope and think that the Nets are going to have any shot tomorrow night. I think the Heat are going to start to play Heat basketball, and it's just not going to be pretty.
It's confident words.
Yeah, Mary, I'm almost in awe of your confidence. I guess this is good. 2 years of rooting for the Heat, will just 2 or 3 years of rooting for the Heat under this incarnation will do for you. That seems, but hey, mazel tov.
Thank you very much. It's just something watching these guys play basketball. It's when they want to play well. They're playing at will. You know, they're as good as they want to be. And it's when you watch this team night in and night out, they just seem to toy with their opponents, and they have the ability to just turn it on when they want to. And you know, last night was an aberration against Philadelphia. You know, Philadelphia was playing with a lot of emotion. The rookie played real well for them. He was shooting the ball lights out. He was stealing the ball. He was rebounding the ball. But I think if you play that game 99 times out of 100, Miami's going to win that game. Mm-hmm. They just seem to catch him on an off night. I just think that Miami's playing it at a level that the rest of the league is going to have to catch up to.
What has been the I guess LeBron experience going against Pierce and Garnett? You know, look, those are two guys that when the Nets got, it almost seemed like it was a move in a way to just go after LeBron. I mean, it seems like those guys have had success defending him and playing against him. I mean, I don't know, you know, how true these things are when they say these guys get in each other's heads or whatever that means, but it just seems like that if anyone does, it's those two guys. I mean, what has been that experience like, you know, over the last few years watching LeBron go against guys like Pierce and Garnett?
Well, I mean, they had success when LeBron was in Cleveland, they always had success against him. But I think in the last couple of years, it kind of flipped. I mean, the Heat beat the Celtics in their first year together.
Sure.
And then after that, it seemed like they always ended up playing up ahead. But it was more a reflection of just Boston's general sogginess over the last couple of years, opposed to anything with Pierce and Garnett.
I respect the move that the Nets made to try to keep up with LeBron and to try to keep up with the Heat. But it didn't work in Boston. And they're not getting any younger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, LeBron's not getting any younger, but he's getting better. And the talent that he has around him makes him better. And the talent that he has around him is superlative. I just don't think that KG and Pierce and Jason Terry are necessarily the types of players that have the ability to beat LeBron. Can they compete with him? Yeah, they can compete with him. I think Jason Terry still has tread marks on his back from what LeBron did to him last year in Boston. I mean, that was just a vicious play. And that's something that if you're not a LeBron fan, that's something that'll keep you awake at night. I think that the Nets are going to be an admirable suitor, but I just don't see them keeping up.
Wow. I mean, what else is there to talk about with this game coming up? I mean, it just we have one guy with a very confident outlook. I mean, Jeremy, what do we have to do to shut Scott up a little bit? Just to make this a ball game, I guess.
Wow, you want to shut me up? It's the first game of the year. You want to shut me up already?
Yeah, a little bit.
They need to like punch the Brown in the face. That should be magic. You can just go for it. I mean, if it works, and honestly, they just legalize fighting, but, I mean, that's just me. No, it's, but in all seriousness, they should, I don't know. It's hard to say. Again, the Heat or the Heat. Yeah, they'll either figure it out or they won't.
We've never done a Nets Heat podcast before, but you're definitely the most confident person to ever come on and talk about the opponent on the visitor side for the podcast, so you definitely have that.
Well, it's easy to be confident when you've got LeBron, Bosh, and Wade
sure.
on your team.
When you've won two of the last three. I mean, I know I would be the same way.
You know, it's Heat basketball. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than the Miami Heat right now, and until somebody proves to me otherwise, The Heat are the favorites to win a third in a row. And they're going to win their fourth Eastern Conference championship, and they're in a league of their own. I just don't see the Nets being able to compete with them over the long haul. You know, can they win this game coming up? Sure, they can. You know, Philadelphia won last night. Anything's possible on any given night. But if you're asking me over the season, if it comes into a seven-game series, can the Nets win 4 out of 7? Absolutely not.
What team do you think can give them the most trouble?
The Globetrotters. I think that the Heat have shown that they're susceptible to losing games where they're going to get beat by the three ball. The key to beating the Heat is to be able to control the perimeter. And if you can shoot the ball from the perimeter, then, yeah, I think that you have a shot at beating the Heat, but you're not going to beat them on the inside. You're going to have to shoot that three ball, and you're going to have to shoot it very well. You're going to have to shoot lights out. That's why I'm not impressed with the acquisition of Garnett. I just don't think he has what it takes to beat the Heat. I think that you're going to need to beat them from the outside in, and I just don't know if the Nets are built that way.
Well, the thing about this Nets lineup is that they space the floor really well. Because you have Johnson and Pierce, you can shoot them outside. And Garnett, who's, you know, best area has always been that long true zone. And then Brook Lopez throws inside, but, and everyone else, I think, if their bench guys can get it together, like Terrier, Kirilenko, and so forth, and I think they can shoot from long range. But, you know, again, will they? The Heat are very imposing on defense.
What do you think, I don't know if Kirilenko is 100% good to go yet, but just having him back in the lineup, having Deron Williams play in the fourth quarter, I mean, what do you think that's going to do for, you know, the Nets? What will be different about this game, you know, what they can run with Kirilenko and Deron Williams back in the fourth versus last night?
You know, sort of fluidity to the second unit. He's would be by far the best option in terms of both just defending a large the other team's best player and in terms of being able to score, because the second unit that they trotted out last night was really kind of streaky and flawed. If you looked at it separately, I mean, Reggie Evans kept on trying to do too much on offense, which was always just like a nightmare to watch on poles. And then you know, Jason Terry had his bit, but he really only shot from outside. And then you've got, like, you know, Tom Livingston, and you can own mostly his passes, and Alan Anderson, who is a spunky guy, but, you know, still needs some time getting his thing together. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm idealizing it too much, but I feel like Sterling, though, at least would have sort of stabilized him in offense and defense and all that. But, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that that Kirilenko is kind of a guy that's, I think, a lot more important than people think, just because, you know, with Pierce and Garnett at their age and kind of what they want to do with limiting minutes and that sort of thing, Kirilenko is very essential in that, because he can play both their positions, he can defend both their positions, and he just works as like a Swiss Army knife sort of thing. And I just think that's going to be really important, you know, down the road, especially when they have these games where Garnett's not going to play, or Pierce isn't going to play, or, you know, what they plan to do with the back-to-backs, or I don't know. I'm not really sure what, you know, they've made all these references to KG sitting out back-to-backs, to maybe sitting out games, having Pierce sit out games, and we don't really know what's going to happen yet, just because it hasn't happened. But it's kind of been just a point of contention with Garnett and Kidd, and that's why I just think Kirilenko is going to be very essential. I'm interested to see what he's going to do against Miami and how they're going to fit him in. I mean, Kirilenko can guard any position, but can he guard LeBron? I mean, he doesn't really like Scott's saying, like, he's a class of one. I mean, it's not like he fits the mold of just any guy at a position. Do you remember any LeBron, I don't know, games where, I guess, against the T-Wolves last year? I mean, did you see anything about Kirilenko defensively against LeBron that stuck out to you at all?
I just really don't see. I'm trying to think back to those big T-Wolves games that anything stood out. I just don't remember. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a guy that won the MVP again, and you know, do you shut down LeBron James? I mean, you know, can you contain him? I just don't know if there's a player in the NBA that's capable of doing that, and I certainly don't know if that guy's been built yet.
Right. Well, it's still a team thing. I mean, you look at some of the teams that have been effective in slowing him down a little, Chicago and San Antonio, and they all they're all locked in, and it's not just one guy defending him, but a whole, you know, string of a whole line of defenses. And the question is not so much whether Kirilenko is going to be able to do it, but, you know, can Garnett still have enough energy to rotate? Can Brook Lopez develop into something that's, you know, more than a stable tree, just like a tree that doesn't move very much? all these little things, and that's why the beginning of the regular season is so weird for the Nets, because you're still watching, waiting for them to develop and begin to do these things. So, you know, tomorrow will be exciting in that regard to see how they begin to approach the unapproachable task.
Yeah, I'm excited. What else? Do we have any closing thoughts or anything before the game tomorrow?
You know, the Nets, I think Garnett is pretty vocal on not liking LeBron and Pierce. You know, they've had their clashes before, so I'm intrigued to see whether or not that'll manifest itself in any way outside of just whatever the usual energy is. You know, Kevin Garnett barking or Pierce flying around the camera. We'll see.
Because they had that thing where Pierce said something along the lines of I don't like the Heat or something like that. That was, I don't know, that kind of, I don't know, that happened like a week ago, but I guess that was a seed being planted against the rivalry. So I don't know, maybe that'll manifest into something. Scott, any other concluding thoughts about tomorrow's game?
I think it's a game that's being lost in the shuffle. You know, you've got the Dolphins playing tonight. You've got the Hurricanes playing on Saturday against Florida State. And I just think that the average sports fan in South Florida is overlooking this game. I think the Heat are going to come out strong. I think they've got a lot to prove after the way they played against Philadelphia. I just think that the average South Florida sports fan is getting the full plate this weekend of South Florida sports, and it's going to be a great game. I think unfortunately, I think it's just being played on the wrong weekend.
Scott, where can some of our Nets viewers, I guess, find some of your stuff, find you on Twitter and that sort of thing?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Scott Solomon, Salomon, and you can find me on SB Nation at stateoftheu.com, where you can find my Hurricane write-ups, and you can find my Heat and Hot Hoops, where it's my first year on the SB Nation basketball site for the Miami Heat, and so you'll be able to find me there.
Yeah, you got, your guys' blog is awesome. You guys do a great job over there. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be watching 8 o'clock tomorrow. I think it's on TNT. It should be a good one. Thanks for being on, guys. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.